Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. All right. Let's get ready for our Bible study. Instead of growing, looks like we're declining in numbers. But I thank you for being here. So let's begin. First of all, talk about prayer. Need to be in prayer for Thomas. He had a rough night last night and had a little fever and just some complications. Leslie, what's the latest on Thomas? Good.
But they ran a bunch of tests on him today. They were going to give him some CT scan and a few other scans. All his numbers look good, but the fever causes concern, and then his white blood count doubled overnight, and his C-reactive protein doubled overnight. We were trying to figure out why.
Is that bad?
Yeah. It's not good for it to jump that fast.
Yeah. Okay. Does that mean that the double is being made by his own bone marrow?
Yeah. And okay. That's what they're wondering, if maybe there's some sort of infection in there, or is there a cancer in there that the blood cells are trying to fight.
Okay. Well, let's continue to be in prayer for Thomas, but let's definitely be in prayer for Rick and Terry. This is very pressure on them, and just the torment on them and their soul, their body, their faith. And, you know, in America, we're going to be studying. It's just interesting that in two studies on Wednesday night coming up in verse 33 and on Sunday morning coming up in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, we're going to be studying tribulation. And tribulation as it relates to the hatred by the world, and tribulation in reference to being a Christian, and just in tribulation in the world. And we in America really do not even really know tribulation for following Christ. Now, we know tribulation in the world. It's an interesting preposition or phrase that Christ will say. Well, let's just look at it in verse 33. In the world, you have tribulation. In verse 33 of chapter 16. Now, not from the world, but in the world. So just by being in the world, in on earth, we're going to have tribulation. And then we got to have it in Romans 5, dealing with our position in Christ. But I'm not minimizing the fact that we all have this challenge of walking daily by faith, but I'll just tell you right now, it's Rick and Terry under the test of faith. Every day. And each day, it wears. And that's why it's going to give our study on the word perseverance just some added drama that we can relate to now by what Rick and Terry are going through, to persevere day in and day out. When something happens and you get through that major thing, then, you're okay, kind of. Even if the results are disastrous, you're still okay. But, boy, this is just day and night, just trusting Him. And you go up and down, and good report, bad report. And so we need to just constantly be in prayer for Rick and Terry. And I told them that I was going to be using them as example, and they said that was fine. But it's a great challenge to faith, and that's what all of these things, tribulations, are for. They're designed to test our faith. Do you really believe me? Just to give you a preview of coming attractions, look at verse 31 in John 16. He says, "Do you now believe?" You can't really tell from this statement, but really the effect of what he's saying is, "Oh, you believe now? Well, let me tell you what's getting ready to happen." Let's see, because if you look down at verse 32, let me tell you what's going to happen. The day's coming now is when you're going to be scattered. So they boast that they did believe. Oh, you believe? Let's see. Let's see about your faith. And so you always want to be careful boasting about your faith. God has an interesting way of putting that to the test. And so we, in America, we really haven't been tested as far as our following Christ. I think that day's coming, and I think it's slowly here for our children, especially in school. And we're getting ready to find out what it really is like to come under tribulation, because we believe and follow Jesus Christ. But the interesting phrase in verse 33, in the world you have tribulation. Not from the world, but in the world. Because can I have it? Our bodies are weak and frail. The laws say, like of gravity, God, you take a hammer, drop it on your toe, it's going to hurt. It's just fact of living in this world. There are various laws of physics. Two objects cannot occupy the same place. So you have a car wreck. Two both trying to occupy that same space. So there's just a lot of things that just come about as a result of living in this world. And so we're going to be taking a look at all of these things, but we definitely need to be in prayer for Rick and Terry, Thomas, the doctors, their wisdom, and what they're doing. And so just continue to be in prayer for that. Let's see, we need to be in prayer for our young people and getting ready for the camp. It just says our opportunity as adults to pass on the banner, to the baton of the gospel. And we've got to have some young people ready to take up the baton. And that will have a good solid foundation that we have the privilege of giving them. So it becomes that challenge, that opportunity to do that. My three grandchildren are going, and I was at a game, and another couple that were at the game, their two daughters are going to come and be a part. I got to meet them, tell them what we're going to be studying at camp. And I told them we're going to be studying spiritual love, or loving one another as Christ loved. And the mother looked, she said, that's going to be very good because they're sisters. And so it's going to be interesting to see that. And so we need to be in prayer for the camp. And let's see, what else do we have to be in prayer that we need to make note of? Glad to have Jim Langston back safely. We were in prayer Sunday. You made it back safely. And so we're glad of that. How is Pam's father?
He's doing well.
Good. Is she doing okay? Okay, right. And let's see. So what else do we have? Yes?
Kelly's surgery Thursday. All goes well.
Week for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Kelly went to the doctor today to get ready for the surgery, and they saw some shadows and things on his lungs, so he may have a walking pneumonia, and they're not going to be able to do anything if he does indeed have that. So they'd be in prayer. And then Julie, her daughter, is under severe suffering with hypothyroid and a couple other issues. And let me see, who else did we be in prayer for? Yes. Yeah.
His operation was supposed to be, I think, early this next week,
okay.
Still on schedule. That's a special operation. They've never done it before. And the two doctors.
Okay. Need to be in prayer for them. And want to tell you about next Wednesday night. And I'll announce it very strongly Sunday morning. Dan and Pat's schedule is not going to allow them to be here on a Sunday. So they will be teaching here next Wednesday night, giving their presentation of Liberia and all the things that God is doing through them in the colleges, working with the Good Samaritan, Franklin Graham's organization, and just a lot of things that are going on. And I sure hope that some of the people that do not normally come on Wednesday night are going to think that that's important enough for them to make it on Wednesday night. So that'll be next Wednesday night, if everything goes as planned. And so I've still got to have next Wednesday night ready, just in case something happens. They didn't make it, and I'm not ready. So, but be in prayer about that. They'll be coming in Tuesday to our house. Let's see. Anything else? How's Tish? Went to the doctor today? No? Okay.
Oh, to a regular appointment?
Yeah. No, she didn't make it in. She wasn't feeling real good this morning.
That's what I thought. She was,
yeah, I don't know if it's some of Thomas and she had to deal with her own
family
this morning. And, yeah. So I think it's a couple things.
Yeah. And so, just be in prayer for Tish. And let's see. Does Phil have any more to do on his program?
Yeah, just a, I don't know what it's called. It's sort of like a diary. It's got a little bit more to do. It's due on May 1st.
How do you fail on a diary?
Well, I think it has to include certain aspects.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, well, we don't like what happened to you in this area of your life, so you got an X on that. Okay.
And they've been waiting a while.
You mean everything to his room?
Well, you know, his whole.
Oh, he has to go
out. Daddy has to go somewhere.
Is he, he's not, is he coming out of that?
Yeah. He answered them as of yesterday? Was it yesterday?
Yeah, and they even, he was awake today for a lot of today, but he just stares. And they finally, they gave him some stuff to sleep because he just wasn't sleeping.
So they say he slept
through a lot of his tests today.
So when was he talking? Or
he can't talk because of the tooth.
Oh, because of the tooth.
Yeah, so he can blink or squeeze their
hand. All right, let's be in prayer about that. Yes, sir.
Yes. She just wanted to tell you all thank you and to continue to pray because it's a roller coaster right now.
Yes. Well, I just gave a talk about how they just got to be the heart of our prayer. Thomas, of course, but Rick and Terry are the ones going under the testing of faith. And it's a daily constant. The perseverance of faith is their battle. Yes, sir.
Just a side comment on Christian suffering. On the way over, I heard on the radio where three Christians were executed in North Korea for assembling together.
Wow.
So that's...
Three in North Korea.
Yeah.
And it's going to, I think it's going to get rougher throughout the world. The world is an anti-Christ momentum and a pro-Allah Muslim momentum. And they hate Jesus and they hate Christians and they hate Jews. So it's going to get very, very tough as far as the world is concerned. Now, I want to tell you about a special prayer request I have. And go to the bank, and I like to go inside and just talk to the people. Well, there's a lady in the bank. I'm sorry I do not know her name, but she is probably 28, maybe, and had as a little girl, and she had a little infant in November, October, November, and the baby died in December. And she is still very, very heavy about it, and I asked her, I said, I do not want to impose where I'm not supposed to, but I'm a pastor and told her about the sad series, Living Who You Are in Christ. May I give this to you, bring it to you? And she said, yes, please do. So please be in prayer. May God the Holy Spirit, I have no idea of her spiritual life, or I have no idea what she is, if she's anything. But she did not oppose to it. I told her that I was a pastor in a Bible church and would like to bring her this. I said, do you have availability of an MP3 player? And she says, I do at home. So she knew what that was. And so please be in prayer for this lady. And I'll try to get her name. But just be in prayer that God the Holy Spirit will open her soul and her eyes to the truth of what's going on in this area. Okay, let's say yes.
I'm sorry, Jerry.
No. His son. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so he's 40. He lives in Colorado.
The son?
Yeah. And has a really great family, I guess. The kids are kind of young. I think they're like 9 and 11.
Wow.
Yeah, or 9 and 7. I might have just the opposite. But anyway, so his name is Brent. The son's name is Brent. Brent.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's be in prayer for Brent. 40-year-old, father, husband. Wow. So these are the things that happen in the world. And so let's begin now with a word of prayer. And it's going to make, I'll just tell you right now, I'm very interested in our studies in John 16, what's coming up, what we're in the midst of studying right now, and Romans 5, and dealing with exalting in tribulation. And we're going to see some very strong things in regard to suffering. We've not traveled this way, but got to thinking, talking to Judith about we really resemble the church of Smyrna, and they were doing everything right, and boy, I mean, it was coming down on them. Ephesus was doing everything wrong, and they were just prospering, growing, and all this. And so we need to be in prayer for each other. We need to be in prayer. That needs to be on our day. Just be in prayer for one another that are in the battle. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer before we go into our study. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for this book. How thankful we are for the things that you have recorded in this book and that you have preserved for our edification. And now, Father, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things you would have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's note the progression of the passage where we are. Verse 27. Now, verse 27, you believe that I came forth from the Father. Now, came forth is the word, is the preposition para, out from, or not out from, but from God. This is deals primarily with the humanity of Jesus Christ. Then verse 28, he says, I came forth. And here we have the preposition ek. I came forth. And he says, from the Father. I came forth, ek. This emphasizes his deity, out from the Father. And then in verse 28, I am going. And this means, this is pros plus the kid for pros plus the accusative, face to face with the Father. I came out from the Father. I'm going to back to the Father. Then verse 30, we believe that you came from. This time they use the preposition apo, and it emphasizes the ultimate source of Jesus Christ coming to mankind. So we have a lot of different prepositions and different things being said about him at this time. And so para from the immediate source, and apo from the ultimate source, and we're dealing with who and what Jesus Christ is, and it comes up to a very important question, and I just give to you personally, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? Or, to put it in Christ terms, who do you say I am? And every one of us have to make up our mind about that. Every one of us have to. And nobody can make up your mind for that. I had a very kind of emotional, I didn't let them know it was emotional, time with my three grandchildren. Yesterday we picked them up from school, and we went to Bronze, and we were just sitting there, and just out of the blue they said, well, how did you come to believe in Jesus Christ? And so I gave them my testimony, and I asked each of them their testimony, and they all three could tell me exactly when they came to believe in Jesus Christ, and that was just really powerful. Is here in how old is Dalton? 9,
8,
and then a 10-year-old and a 13-year-old. Give me their conversion story, their testimony of when they believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. So it made me think of this. But what's your view of Christ? Who do you say He is? And this is going to be important, especially people. If you come under pressure, if you come under the whole thing that Rick and Terry are going under is all these years of listening and saying they believe and all that. What do you really believe? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? And what happens when it's challenged? And what kind of God is this to do this to our son, who's just 14 years old? And why would that happen? And your mind starts going through, what do I believe? Why do I believe it? You know, we can say that you believe things, but until you have to stand guard on what you believe, as long as it doesn't cost, as long as there's no challenge, okay. But boy, once you have to make a stand on what you believe, and that may hurt you in some way, or it's some challenging way like this, then you'll find out what's going on really inside you. You'll find out what you really do believe. Now here we have a theological declaration about who Jesus Christ is. Verse 27, you believe that I came forth from God. The source was God. Verse 28, Jesus Christ speaking directly, making a declaration, I came forth from, out from the Father. From within, so therefore the deity of Jesus Christ. Verse 28, I'm going to the Father, face to face with the Father. We have a lot of things that he's thinking about at this time in his, just hours before the crucifixion. And then verse 30, we believe that you came from the ultimate source of the Father. So let's note a few things in passing. One, Jesus Christ is from God. Sent by God to the world, the earth, planet earth, to humanity. The word world has different meanings, and sometimes it refers to the actual structure of the earth, sometimes it refers to the cosmic system, and just different concepts behind it, or it refers to all the people, for God so loved the world. So, Jesus Christ is from God, sent by God to the earth. Point two, Jesus Christ is out from God. He is deity. He is God. Three, the disciples emphasized God while Jesus Christ emphasized the Father. In just context, Jesus Christ emphasizes the Father, intimate personal relationship. Four, Jesus Christ came from God the Father. Jesus Christ is going to return to God the Father. So what do we learn about Jesus Christ in these verses? Subpoints. Subpoint one, he is deity. Either you believe that or you don't. Two, he is humanity. He is the God-man. I can't explain that. It's beyond my understanding. Oh, I can talk about it, but as far as truly comprehending the God-man, the hypostatic union, hypostasis, two natures in one without the loss of either identity, I can't understand that. Don't pretend to. When I heard it when I was a little boy, I didn't challenge it. He's God, he's man, I believe it. I'm not going to sit here and try to figure it out. Let's move on from that point. He is God, he is man, he's our Savior. So, That's what you do with that. Point three, that Jesus Christ is the only one sent by God the Father to earth to reconcile man with himself. Jesus Christ is the only one sent by God the Father to earth to reconcile man with himself by his work on the cross. People, you know, most all of you know these things, but these are the things that are under challenge today in the world. Who is this Jesus? What's so special about this Jesus? And we have to make up our mind if these are things that we believe or not. Point four, that he rose again. A lot of the world don't believe that. And departed earth to return to the Father, where he now sits at the right hand of God the Father on his throne. Do you believe that or not? Do you believe that the actual resurrected Jesus sits at the right hand of God the Father alive, even though his death, which we'll be looking at this weekend, in his resurrection, he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again? How real is that? And how important is it to you under pressure like Rick and Terry are going through? So point five, that Jesus Christ has a special relationship with God. He has a special relationship with God as his Father. As his Father. This will be very important in chapter 17. Look at chapter 17, verse 1. These things Jesus spoke and lifting up his eyes to heaven said, Father. He addressed him as Father. Very strong relationship between Jesus Christ and God. And subpoint 6. And because Jesus Christ's special relationship with God the Father, God now is our Father. We have a special relationship with Him. Our relationship with God as Father will be vitally important in our prayer life, where we can now address Him as Father. Never in all the prayers, in the Psalms, in the Old Testament, are they addressed to the Father. No prayer in the Old Testament addressed Him as Father, talking with Him in the prayer. Now, what's important? They knew Him as Father. They knew Him as Father. They did not pray to Him as Father. They did not communicate with Him as Father. But they knew Him as Father. And this we know from the time of Moses. Look at Deuteronomy 32. We're getting ready for some powerful study in the Bible. Deuteronomy 32. On the one hand, I don't want to live over 100. On the other hand, I wished I had 100 more years to study this book. Just 100 more years from where I am right now. Things are just opening up. You think after 35 years you'd have it. I've, after 35 years, found out how little I do know. This is so powerful. I'm sorry? Now, we finished Galatians. Okay. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they All right. Deuteronomy 32. Now, before we look at our verse, I want you to note the context of verse or chapter 32. It's a song of Moses and praising God. It's a song of Moses. So let's just read 1 through 4. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak. Not, O Father, but heavens, and let me speak. Now he says, addresses the earth, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as the rain. I wish we had time to study that. It's water. It's what gets life. My speech distill as the dew. Gives energy in the morning. As the droplets on the fresh grass. And as the showers on the herb. For I proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe greatness to our God. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. Now verses 5 and 6. They have acted corruptly toward him. You see the dramatic change. Up to this point, it's been a praise of Yahweh. But now all of a sudden he changes. They, the people of Israel, have acted corruptly toward him. They are not his children because of their defect, but are a perverse and crooked generation. Now verse 6. Do you thus repay, respond, the Lord? Now, the word the Lord here, and this is what I want to kind of dwell on a little bit with you in some of these passages we're going to look at, is the tetragrammaton, which looks like this in the Hebrew. And this is really gives us the YHWH, which is translated Yahweh. It's the sacred name of God, Yahweh, and or Jehovah, if you're old-fashioned, and no vowels, J-H-W-H, Jehovah, or B-H, excuse me, V-H, and you put in the vowels, and you got Yahweh, Jehovah. Okay, now, do you thus pay, respond to the Lord. See, you read verses 1 through 5, and it's just powerful. Or verse 1 through 4. The rock. The work is perfect. His work is perfect. All these things. And now you come to their response to it. Do you thus repay the Lord? And if you'll note in the New American Standard, the Lord is capitalized. That lets you know it's this tetragrammaton. Okay, but I've got a little clue for you coming up on that. O foolish and unwise people, or foolish and lacking in wisdom. Now what's interesting, let's just pause a minute, even though this isn't our study. These two words together make an interesting concept. Foolish and unwise. Foolish and unwise. Foolish in the Hebrew refers to one who's arrogant and dense spiritually, but arrogant about it. Morally corrupt. Unwise in being able to think clearly on the spiritual things that are important. This would be very close to Romans 1:22. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. This is what you have almost right here. Okay, look what it says now. Do you thus repay the Lord, O foolish and unwise people? Is not He your Father? They knew Him as Father, who has bought you, made you, established you. Note the three concepts of the Father. First, bring into existence. That's what a father does. Your father is the one who as it were, seated you and you came into existence. So, He redeemed them. He redeemed them. Bought them. Then it says, made. That's made them a great nation. Made them a great nation. Giving them their goal, their direction, their purpose. Then, established them in history. For all history. People, there's just no people on earth that you can study that are like the Jews. The Hebrews. I mean, just take the 100 years of the 20th century. The very beginning of the century in World War II, World War I, and then 1948, and then the Seven Days War, and then the just so many different battles and times, and where they are today, surrounded by all of the nations that want them dead, want them over with. We watched the deal the other day on Esther, and it just right there, let's annihilate all of the Jews. Just get rid of them. Kill them. This has been Satan's objective all the way through history. And they're still here. And they're still going to be here. It's just amazing that they have never really fully gotten with the program. Now, with that in mind, look at Deuteronomy 1. So here they knew him as Father. Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, and let's read verses 30 and 31. Deuteronomy 1, 30 and 31. The Lord, your God, who goes before you, will Himself fight on your behalf, just as He did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness, where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son. As a man carries his son. In all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. Due to their hardening of their heart, they're not able to think of the past. The present, the future. See, this is what I hope happens with Rick and Terry. With and people, I've already talked with them about using them. But it's going on now. We're going into the third week. How many days can you just have your faith challenged? And you get up and you get down, you get up and down. And as Terry wrote in her Facebook, that just It's like seeing your newborn child open its eyes. And you just, how long can you just keep having this faith? It's under siege. Their faith is under siege. See? And I hope that in the midst of this, they're able to constantly go back and look at the past. But he sent his son to die on a cross and rise again, rose again for Thomas and for us. He saved him eternally. Therein is the presence, your present confidence and perseverance and your assurance of the future that we will all be with the Father. See? They weren't able to do that in the history of Israel. So we now, by the Holy Spirit, are placed in His Son. We have a relationship with Him as our Father. But we have to understand, how did He become our Father? What does that relationship involve? Another important verse on their knowing Yahweh as their Father, Isaiah 63. Please look at Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63, verse 16. Isaiah 63, 16. So we move from Moses' writings to Isaiah. For thou art our father. Though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not know us. And Israel does not recognize, acknowledge us. Thou, O Lord, art our Father, our Redeemer from of old is Thy name. Now I want you to note a couple of things. Thou art our Father. They knew Him as Father. Not in the intimate way that you and I do, though. This is what's so strange and what's so powerful to me in seeing this in Scripture. They knew Him as Father. And they're so out of the plan. Abraham does not know us. Israel would not even recognize us as being his heir. The word said, Thou, O Lord, and see the word Lord? It's Yahweh, YHWH, art our Father, our Redeemer from of old is Thy name. So they acknowledge Him as Father. But again, they do not pray to Him as Father. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, came to earth, and then left earth and gave to us the unique privilege in prayer of addressing Him as Father. Now, what a shame this is, because many of the Old Testament saints had a much deeper, much richer, more dynamic prayer life than most Christians do today. I'm sorry. And they did not know Him as Father in prayer. And prayer has always been a vital part of the Old Testament history. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4 for the first recorded prayer. The first recorded prayer goes back to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Let's look at verse 25 and 26. Verse 25. And Adam had relation with his wife, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth. For she said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel and for Cain. And to Seth, to him also a son was born, and he called his name Enosh. Now look at the next last line. Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. That's the Tetragrammaton. That's how soon they knew Him as Yahweh, the sacred name of God, as early as 426. To be caused, the word Yahweh in the Hebrew means to be caused to be, creator. This name of God is used early in, as in Genesis chapter 2, verse 4, but not in prayer, but as early as Genesis 2, 4. Earlier manuscripts than that, Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, knew Him also as Yahweh. Look at Genesis chapter 12. This is an interesting passage. Genesis 12, next recorded prayer. Genesis 12, verse 8. Then he, this is Abraham, then he, Abraham, proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel. Now Bethel, Beth means house, Bethlehem, house of bread. Bethel, El is the word for God. Bethel, house of God. And pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. Now Ai means heap of rubbish. The word means heap of rubbish, ruins. And there he built an altar to the Lord, Yahweh, and called upon the name of Yahweh. Called upon the name of the Lord. So, let's see what we have going on here, just for the picture of us. The Bible is very clear on this, isn't it? Where he was when he prayed. So, here we have Abraham. Here we have Abraham. Now, on the west side of Abraham is Bethel. Bethel. On the east side of Abraham is Ai. Okay? Now then, if you're thinking with me, think about the temple. Think about the temple. Where was the Ark, the Ark of the Covenant and the angels and all? They were at what end of the Ark of the Covenant? From the western end. And it moves eastward. And this is the way of man. Goes in the direction of man. See? Remember that? We studied all of this. So you have, here's the Ark of the Covenant, and the table of showbread, the lampstand, the curtain, and here's the altar, and here's the a gate that separates the inner court from the outer court. But you're moving from west to east. And this is always important in the Bible. Always important in the Bible. And you studied, we could go back and look at the Garden of Eden. How it went from the west and the rivers flew out eastward to the history of man. So here we move into the history of man. So here's Abraham. He is stuck between them. So you see the picture. Abraham is between God. Here's God, the house of God. He's between God and on the west side and the total depravity of man on the right side. So he's able to grasp the being of God and the depravity of man, how man needs God. This is why this verse goes in all his detail for us. So Abraham was sharply aware of the divine presence and man's relationship with God, and yet aware of the depravity of man. So look what it says. Here he built an altar. Verse 8, he built an altar to the Lord, that's Yahweh, and called upon the name of Yahweh. So, when they called upon him, prayed to him, they were praying to the one who created all things, who is the reason for all things being there, which is a wonderful concept dealing with God. We should do that with our in our understanding. But he is known by the sacred name of Yahweh from restoration, Genesis on and all the way through. From the restoration in Genesis chapter 2 all the way through, he is known. When you think or say Father, what's going on in your mind? Are we so used to saying it doesn't even register what we're saying anymore? Because people, this is a great privilege we have. Abraham didn't have it. Moses didn't have it. None of these had it. Look at Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Let's read verse 1. After these things, the word of Yahweh came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not fear, Abram. I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great." And Abram said, "O Lord God." Okay, let me just slow down a moment. You'll notice this time, God is capitalized. Is that true in all your Bibles? It's true? Okay. God is capitalized. Lord is in lowercase, capital L in lowercase. Okay, what you have here, the word Lord is the word Adonai in the Hebrew. It's the word Adonai. The word God, which is all caps, is our word Yahweh. See? So that's why they had to make a distinction here. They had to give us some kind of distinction so that we would see what's going on. So Lord is Adonai, and God is Yahweh. Adonai refers to the supreme authority or power. Yahweh, I am, the self-existing one, supreme authority. So you have the supreme authority of Adonai, the self-existence of Yahweh. What wilt thou give me? So let's read now verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God. Any questions on what's happening here in your text? Won't you be able to read your Bible? So anytime you have this kind of a problem, the lowercase Lord, but when Lord is in an uppercase, it's Yahweh. But here they had the two words together, so they chose Adonai, just Lord, and then God, Yahweh, in capitals, so that you'd have that distinction. So, and Abram said, O Lord God, what wilt thou give me? Now, we don't know what he calls him. O Lord God. People, there's nothing, I'm not trying to say there's nothing sacred about this, but it doesn't have that intimacy that we do. We get to say, Father. See, that's what I want you to see. O Lord God, what wilt thou give me, since I am childless, and an heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, since thou hast given me no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord. Now we're back to what? Yahweh. See, it's all capital K, or uppercase. Yahweh came to him saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who shall come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. And we've studied this in Romans chapter 3. Or chapter 4. Now, you will note in the NASB, verse 1 translates Yahweh as Lord. Verse 2 translates Yahweh as God, all in caps. And the reason being, because of the two words together, Adonai, Yahweh. Adonai, Jehovah. So, to make some kind of distinction so that when you're reading the Bible, you will have that distinction. We don't have time to look at it, but if you will write down and you can look at Ezekiel 20, verse 3. Ezekiel 23, we have the same problem. Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, thus says the Lord God, Adonai, Yahweh. Here, Lord is lowercase, Adonai. God is uppercase, Yahweh. Do you come to inquire of me as I live, declares the Lord God. Same thing. Same thing. So that when you see this, when they're together like that, and God is capitalized like this, you know God, there is Yahweh, where it's normally going to be Lord, but it's because it's next to Adonai. Now, back to our study on prayer. It's so important to whom they pray to, whom we pray to in the Old Testament. Let's look at Genesis 17. Genesis 17, verse 18. 17, verse 18. And Abram said to God, oh, that Israel might live before thee. So here, what I want you to see is, here's addressing God. And he just uses Elohim. Not Yahweh, not Adonai. See, sometimes it's Adonai, sometimes it's Yahweh, sometimes it's just Elohim. Genesis 18:22. Look at 18, verse 22. Then the man turned away from there and went to Sodom while Abram was still standing before the Lord. And Abram came out near and said, wilt thou indeed sweep away the righteous Let me see, where is he talking to him? So the Lord said, verse 26, so the Lord, this is a lowercase, it's Adonai, lowercase. And verse chapter 21, look at chapter 21. Just going through some of the prayers of the Old Testament. 21 verse 33. 21:33. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. The name of the Lord, everlasting God. So this is how he addresses him. See? Everlasting, the Lord, everlasting God. Moses prayed to Yahweh, Numbers chapter 11, verse 11. Now, as we go through the history, what you're doing, what you're doing, we're looking at the history. Went from Abraham, all the way through. Now we come to the period of the law. What's very interesting about the law, don't have time to study this with you now, but the law has very little to say about prayer. What the law really deals with prayer is pray for forgiveness and pray to God when you're in trouble, these kind of things, but never really much instruction in dealing with it. Now, there's a much great deal about prayer from when they left, they got back into to the land, going into the land, to the exile by the Babylonian captivity. Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 7. You don't realize what we're doing. We're getting a history of prayer. History of prayer. Joshua 7, and we look at verse 7. See, it took me a long time to go through all this, and different books said different things, and different articles I read, but we're just going to try to cover this rather quickly if we can. But Joshua chapter 7, and look at verse 7. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, Lord Adonai, and God, and I don't know why they didn't capitalize it, because it's Yahweh. I'm sorry? Has it capitalized? Good, okay. I'm sorry? Okay, mine didn't. Good. Yours doesn't either. Okay. And Gideon, he prayed to Elohim, Adonai, in Judges 6:15. And then you come to Samson. Let's look at Judges 16. Judges 16. One of my favorite characters in the Bible. What a wonderful picture of Christ. Judges chapter 16. And let's look at verse 28. Then Samson called to the Lord Yahweh and said, O Lord Adonai, God Yahweh. Boy, he just was totally occupied now with the Lord. Please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that's Elohim, Elohim, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. So let's take a look now. He called to Yahweh, Adonai, Yahweh, Elohim. In one little short time, all four great names for God. But note, not Father. Not Father. Hannah. You know who Hannah is? It's the mother of Samuel. And she went to the Lord and prayed to God to give her a male son that she could give to the Lord. And in 1 Samuel, you can write it down, look at it later. 1 Samuel 1:11, she says, O Lord, Yahweh of hosts. David called upon the name of Yahweh just before taking on Goliath. In 2 Samuel 22:4, he prays to Yahweh, not to Father. The exile, when the Babylonians took them into Babylon and destroyed Jerusalem, after that, it drove the people to seek God. It drove the people to closer to God after they returned and to call upon the name of the Lord. Let me just give you some references. Ezra 7, Ezra 7:27. Yahweh Elohim. Ezra 8:23. Ezra, you recall, was the one who went told by God to go back and rebuild the city. Ezra 8:23. Elohim. Nehemiah, building the walls. 2:4. He calls him Elohim of heaven. Nehemiah 4:4. Elohim. Psalm 42:1. Elohim. Psalm 42:2. Elohim. El. Psalm 54:1. O God, Elohim. 55:1, 56:1, 57:1, El, but not Father. So, they knew Him as Father, but they did not pray to Him as Father. This is a wonderful privilege that we have, people. It's an unbelievable privilege that you and I are given in the church age. Not before the coming of Jesus Christ did they pray to Him as Father. John 15:16, John 16:23-26. History is changing. Not the privilege of prayer. Prayer has always been there. Not the power of prayer. Prayer has always been powerful. But the intimacy, the privilege of calling Him Father. And we should daily call upon the name of the Lord, our everlasting Father. Of all categories of our prayers, praise, thanksgiving, request, heaviness of soul, prayer for others, all these things. But just remember who you're talking with. You have the privilege of saying, Father, because of Jesus Christ. And the important thing here is, this is why the Holy Spirit is given in Galatians. It says, the Spirit was given to Abba, Father. We can know Him as Father. Because of the coming of the Spirit. John 16:26-30. Words and teaching of Jesus Christ. Doctrines, theology. All these things that are so important and so powerful. But in the midst of all of these is the great privilege of prayer that you and I have. We have the privilege of praying to Him. Now, I'm not going to just skip. I'm not going to rush through in 2 minutes what I have to do here. So we'll just leave it at this point and try to pick it up with the same momentum next Wednesday night. Oh, man.
Could you stretch it?
I really want to. But anyway, we just have this wonderful privilege of praying to Him as our Heavenly Father. And there's just so many vital points of faith to hold on to and to call upon Him as Father. And this is one that Jesus Christ gave us and instructing us to call Him Father. That we have this relationship with Him. He returned to God the Father, the resurrection, ascension, and session. He has established in an intense conveyance of prayer for us and praying to the Father. Talk to Him as Father, regardless of the circumstances. And then He sent us His Spirit, that we may pray in the Spirit. Now, Paul will add that to the whole concept of praying to the Father. And this is what I want to do, is to go through, just develop some of the procedure. That's why I don't want to rush this through. This is just, we've studied prayer from different angles. We never noted it from this angle. So we're going to pick it up here. And next time that we meet together for the study, and just go through and see some of the remarkable things that came with a change in history. With the God-man crucified, resurrected, ascended, and seated at the right hand of the Father, what happens to us? Well, it changed our prayer life. It changed the prayer life of human beings. Just days before, the disciples did not pray to Him as Father. But now, with the coming of the Holy Spirit, even they will start praying to Him as Father. It's a wonderful privilege that we have, people. It's a wonderful blessing that you and I have. Okay, let's close in the word of prayer. Any questions about the history of Israel? I know I went through that rather quickly. That was good for 2 or 3 hours. But we did it in just a little short time. But just I wanted you to see, follow some of their prayers, some of the prayers in the different periods of Israel's history, and the age of the patriarchs, and then the movement into the land, and all these things, and then the captivity, and then the exile, and what happened after the exile, how they prayed to him. They prayed to him. They knew him. They knew him as Father, and they prayed to him, but never prayed to him as Father. It's just something you and I get to do. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we praise you. We praise you as the great I Am, Yahweh. We praise you as Adonai, the source of all things, El, the God, Elohim, the triune God, Almighty. We have the privilege of addressing you as Father. Let our request be made known to you. And Father, we now come jointly together and we pray for our friends, Rick and Terry, that your Spirit will let them sense this peace that your Spirit gives. We pray that their faith persevere. In the darkest hour, they will feel the strength of your Spirit. We pray for this assembly. We're under siege financially, people. Father, we pray for each other, the various testings and pressures, problems that each other are going under, tribulations, that we'll be able to be a strength to each other, an encouragement to one another, serve one another in love. Guide us, Heavenly Father. Give us the wisdom of your Spirit, wisdom from above, on how we should be with each other, to help each other and serve each other. This is our short time in history. It's our short time to reflect the glory of our Heavenly Father and of our Savior. We don't want to miss it. And take full advantage of it. So, Father, we pray now these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.